BBC News with Jonathan Izard. The masked, knife-wielding man known as Jihadi John, who appeared in Islamic State beheading videos, has been identified. It's been disclosed that his name is Mohammed Emwazi, a Kuwaiti-born British citizen. Danny Shaw reports.
For the past 6 months, the identity of Jihadi John has been the source of rumour and speculation. Only now has his name emerged publicly. He is Mohammed Emwazi, a Kuwaiti-born man raised and educated in London. Dressed in a black robe, his face almost entirely covered by a balaclava, Emwazi appears in at least 7 Islamic State videos, in which hostages, including the British aid workers Alan Henning and David Haynes, were beheaded. Mohammed Emwazi is believed to have travelled to Syria in 2013, several years after coming to the attention of British security agencies.
U.S. intelligence agencies have placed cyber attacks at the top of their list of threats to the United States, posing a greater risk than terrorism. In its annual assessment of worldwide threats, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence said that a catastrophic destruction of infrastructure was unlikely, but it said that cyber attacks by foreign governments, profit-minded criminals, and ideologically motivated hackers would increasingly undermine U.S. economic competitiveness and national security. A judge in Argentina has dismissed claims that President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner and her foreign minister covered up alleged involvement by Iran in the deadly bombing of a Jewish centre in Buenos Aires 20 years ago. Leonardo Rocha reports.
Judge Daniel Rafeca said he was throwing out the case because no crime had occurred and the evidence against the president and her foreign minister was weak. The accusation came from special prosecutor Alberto Nisman, who was found dead last month in his flat hours before he was due to testify in Congress against Ms. Fernandez and Mr. Timmerman. It's not clear whether he was murdered or killed himself. President Fernandez has always rejected the allegations. She said Mr. Nisman had been fed misleading information by a rogue intelligence agent as part of a plot to discredit her government.
The Ukrainian army and pro-Russian rebels say they're withdrawing heavy artillery from the front lines in eastern Ukraine in line with the ceasefire signed earlier this month. Reports from the region say fighting has largely subsided. The Secretary General of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, said he was hopeful the ceasefire would last and urged Moscow to play a positive role.
It is important that all parties fully respect the ceasefire and withdraw heavy weapons. Russia has transferred in recent months over 1,000 pieces of equipment, tanks, artillery, advanced air defense systems, and they have to withdraw this equipment and they have to stop supporting the separatists.
World News from the BBC. US regulators have imposed tough new rules on internet service providers in an attempt to ensure equal treatment for all customers. The Federal Communication Commission voted to ban a two-tier service where a company could pay a fee to ensure that its products were delivered faster. Critics, including senior Republicans, complain it will drive up consumer costs and discourage industry investment. A Saudi man has been convicted in New York in connection with the bombings of the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania 17 years ago. More than 200 people died in the attacks. Khaled Al-Fawaz was found guilty of 4 charges of conspiracy. Prosecutors described him as an early leader of Al-Qaeda. There's been a series of apparently coordinated bomb attacks in Nigeria by suspected militants. At least 17 people died in an attack carried out by 2 bombers at a bus terminal in the northeastern town of Bu in Borno State. 15 people also died in an attack in the central city of Jos. Richard Hamilton reports.
When a second bomber tried to detonate his explosives in the same bus station in Bu, he was stopped by a crowd who beat him to death. In Jos, 3 bombs were thrown from a car, also killing people near bus stations as well as the university. For Nigerians, there's a ghastly sense of deja vu. On Tuesday, coordinated suicide bombings struck Kano and Potiskum. President Goodluck Jonathan again insisted the military was winning the war against Boko Haram, but he said that before, and now it's difficult to know who to believe.
The president of Yemen, Abd Rabu Mansour Hadi, who fled to the southern city of Aden on Saturday, has had his first meeting there with the United Nations envoy Jamal Ben Omar. Mr. Hadi has called for his government to reassemble in Aden in the wake of last month's seizure of the capital Sana'a by Shia Houthi rebels. Saudi Arabia has announced that its ambassador to Yemen would now operate out of Aden. The Houthis promptly accused Riyadh of trying to split Yemen along sectarian lines. BBC News.